We want to thank the Heritage Choir for being here this morning. We get together every Tuesday and sing, and it's a blessing that we can find things that are older than we are and sing some of these hymns. So we have great fellowship, and thank y'all for coming. Thank you, Spencer, for leading us in worship. Now, we've been following Jesus during this season of Lent on his road to Jerusalem as he set his face and his heart toward Jerusalem to die on the cross for our sins. And we come to the 10th chapter of Luke. If you'll turn with us in your Bible or the pew Bible there in front of you, to verse 25. Now behold, a lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said, "What's written in the scripture? What's your reading of it?" The man answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself." Now that is Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. Now Jesus said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." But the man, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, "But who is my neighbor?" And Jesus answered him and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at this place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw the man, he had compassion on him. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii. Denarii was a full day's pay. 2 days' worth of pay. Gave it to the innkeeper and said, "Take care of this man. And if you spend any more, when I come back again, I will repay you." Now, which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? The lawyer said, "He who showed mercy." Then Jesus said, "Go and do likewise." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Last week, we found Jesus in Samaria, which is a neighbor country to Palestine. And he was thoroughly rejected by the people that he spoke to. Maddie Powell is one of the finest people, one of the best Christians I've ever known. She was a lay preacher in the Methodist Church, and when she wasn't preaching, she and her family attended First Methodist in Sylacauga, Alabama. One day, after Sunday school, before worship, her grandson came running to her and said, Granny Powell, guess what I learned in Sunday school today?" And she said, "What, darling?" And he said, "Granny Powell, did you know that before Jesus was a Methodist, he was a Jew?" Well, the Samaritans rejected Jesus, not because he was a Methodist, but because he was a Jew. The Samaritans and the Jews were the most bitter enemies. They would literally spit on each other when they passed by and curse each other. It was the Jewish law that if a Jew ever saw a Samaritan woman in childbirth and in trouble, that they were forbidden to help her because it would be a sin to bring another Samaritan into the world. But now he's back at home. He's back in Palestine in this scripture. And he sends 70 of his disciples out, gives them specific directions on what to do, and they meet with great success. They come back rejoicing at the response. And they say that great verse. It was almost as if Satan fell down from the sky. Great, great success. And a lawyer. Now, this is not a court lawyer. This is a man who was skilled in the first five books of the law, a studier of the Old Testament. And this Bible scholar comes to Jesus and says, "What must I do to inherit life?" And Jesus says, "What does the Scripture say?" And he quotes Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, your mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself." And Jesus said, "You've answered your own question. Go and do this." And the man says, "Well, but who is my neighbor?" And so Jesus told the story that we call the Good Samaritan. If you look on the back of your bulletin, you'll see the sermon outline there. Three key points about this sermon, about this scripture. A preacher far wiser than I years ago preached a classic sermon on the Good Samaritan. And he said that there are three kinds of people in this world. There are people like the robbers who say, "What's yours is mine and I'm going to take it." And then there are people like the priest and the Levite who say, "What's mine is mine and I'm going to keep it." And then there are those who are like the Good Samaritan who say, "What's mine is from God and I will share it." When Jesus mentioned the Samaritan, when he talked about that, here, by the way, was a man who was robbed by his own kind. The road from Jerusalem to Jericho is 30 miles. It's a curvy road. It's all downhill. There are huge rocks along the way and crevices. A perfect hiding place for thieves and robbers. And this man was attacked and robbed and left for dead. The priest comes by. The Levite, who would be like an officer of the church. I heard a little boy in Sunday school said one time that when the preacher and the layman came by and saw the man was already robbed, they went on their own way. They went on their own way. When Jesus said, "And then a Samaritan came," the Jews who were listening to Jesus thought, "Oh no, here's the villain." Remember, the Samaritans hated each other. The Samaritans wanted to kill each other. So they just knew that the Samaritan was going to finish this wounded Jew off. But what did he do? He came and he did whatever was necessary to help the man. People always want more than their share. You know, it's always painful to me. In the papers, it always comes from time to time. Doesn't happen every day, but it happens too often, to where good people embezzle and steal money that they've been entrusted with. It happens in the Boy Scouts. It happens in churches. It happens in stores and organizations, where people who take what is not theirs. People want more than they deserve. People want more than their share. We're all like the little girl whose dad was trying to get her to eat her supper. And he said, "Darling, finish your green beans, eat your green beans, and you can have some ice cream." And the little girl said, "Daddy, let's share. You help me eat my green beans, and I'll help you eat your ice cream." It's just human nature. We all want more than is our share. And yet here was a man, and by the way, the Samaritan helped this wounded Jew who would have never helped him if situations had been reversed. And yet he extended himself, he delayed his journey, he gave of his money, he used his own hands to bind the man's wounds. He did everything that was necessary. Who is my neighbor? Jesus is saying, your neighbor is whoever needs you. Whoever needs you. It may not be somebody you like. It may not be somebody who's nice. But your neighbor is whoever needs you. At the very end, Jesus gives two words two little two-letter words that are two of the biggest words in all of the Bible. Go and do. Too many church members sit and stew instead of go and do. Isn't that right? Too many. We're not called to sit and stew. We're called to go and to do. Jesus said, go the second mile. He said, go into all the world. Go into your closet and pray. Do unto others as you wish they would do to you. Do not do as the Pharisees. Do not be afraid. Do God's will, not men's. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. Go and do. If I were to ask you, as God puts on your heart, not me, but the Scripture and God today, if I were to ask you right now to write down in your bulletin the things that you're doing for God, how many could you write down? Now, don't say go to church, because you come to church for yourself, for your heart, for the fellowship, for what you need. But if you were to take your bulletin and write down, what are you doing at the moment? Certainly, we could do more. And one of the best instruments, I've said it over and over, I'll say it again. When you get your newsletter, and I still love mine by paper. I still write my sermons out by paper on outline. I love when the newsletter comes. So whether you get it by email or however you get it, there are opportunities in there. The Nurture Committee always has something in there. The Hope and the Faith House across the street, they're always needing items. If nothing else, let's do that this week. Write down in your heart right now some things you know that you could do. Jesus said, go and do. A number of years ago, I heard Eddie Fox preach in Birmingham. Eddie Fox was the director of evangelism for the United Methodist Church. And in this sermon, he said, the body of Christ is not a social club. It is a church. A club surveys the needs and wishes of its members and seeks to meet them. But a church must always ask, what does Jesus tell us to do? Jesus is knocking on the door of the church, but this time he is not inviting us to come in, but to go out and join him in the world, seeking lost souls and serving the poor and the needy. That's what the church exists for. You know, through the years, and I thank God for the church. I love the church. I'm a critic of the church, but as I told you last week, it's the best organization I know. And becoming an officer of a Little League baseball team helped me do that more than anything else. It helped me appreciate the church. You think the church can be petty sometimes. You get out in the real world, you can't imagine what some organizations can be like. But my goodness, if there's anything, over 50 years as a pastor, if there's anything that I've seen a decline in the church, it's our love for sinners. The church today, I don't see the love for sinners that we should have, that we've had in time past. Churches used to have, in the 60s and 70s, had evangelistic crusades, and they would literally go out into the neighborhoods and knock on doors and visit people and tell them about Jesus. We like to say we are called to love the sinner and hate the sin, and that's true. Let's hate the sin. But it seems to me that the church today is more intent on hating the sin than it is loving the sinner. And the church is not a fort. It seems like the church is becoming more and more of a fort in which we try to guard ourselves against the world. But Jesus said, go out into the world. Go out into the world and live in such a way and tell others how much God loves them and how Jesus died for them. Oh, may God renew our love for sinners that we might seek them and bring them here and to let them know that Jesus is their friend and their Lord and Savior as well. Well, if God has shown us mercy, we must show mercy, not only to the world, not only to sinners, but to those who have harmed us, to those who have hurt us. And I know it's hard. I think of a dear friend many years ago. It's easy to talk about forgiveness, and I preached a sermon about forgiving others. And this dear friend, as honest as could be, came and he said, "Preacher, I'm sorry, but I will never forgive what my ex-son-in-law did to my daughter." There are some things that are very hard to forgive. And yet Jesus didn't give any exceptions, you know. He doesn't say you can forgive everybody but forgive so-and-so. Jesus calls it. It's amazing to me how here and all through the Bible, Jesus talks about how that we are to forgive our enemies and to pray for them and to show God's love for them. It took me many years before I finally realized the main point of the story. God is the Good Samaritan. God is a Good Samaritan. He is. Jesus is telling us what God is like. How that God, just like this Samaritan, God comes to us in our worst and moments and when we need Him the most. And God comes and shows mercy to us and redeems us, and He does whatever is necessary to love us and to save us, even giving His Son up on the cross to die for us. Oh, no matter what you have done, no matter who you are, no matter what your struggles can be, there's nobody that loves you like God loves you. Oh, how much He loves you and loves me this day. And because God has shown us mercy, let us show mercy. As Jesus said, forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. During World War II, there was this, this is a famous story. You may not know the story, you may know the poem. A well-known poem was written about this story, and a lot of Bible markers, you probably read this poem. But during World War II, an Air Force squadron bombed a city in Europe, and inadvertently some of the bombs hit the town and destroyed the church that was in this town. And after the war, members of the squadron, some of them, they raised funds, and some of them actually went back to help rebuild the church that had been destroyed. Within this church, there was a statue, a life-size statue of Christ. And in all the debris, amazingly, the statue of Christ did not have a scratch on it, except its hands were broken off. And no matter where they looked, they could not find the hands. Once the church was restored and everything was done, they couldn't decide what to do about the statue, maybe to have the hands redone. But then finally somebody, whoever, had this idea. And they simply left the statue as it was, put it up in front of the congregation, and beneath a large plaque that said, "Christ has no hands but your hands." Christ has no hands but your hands. Go and do, Jesus said. Let us go wherever we go. Let us be the ears of Christ and the heart of Christ and the hands of Christ and serve the poor and the needy. But let's also share the gospel of Christ and seek to bring people into a saving relationship with Him. May you and I live in such a way that we can share what God means to us. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you. Thank you for this church. Thank you for this beautiful sanctuary and the opportunity that we have had to worship. And oh, how the fellowship and the scripture and the hymns and how everything blesses us and charges our energies now to serve you. But dear God, help us once we leave this place to go forth and help us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. And may we in small specific and concrete steps, find ways to be the hands of Christ unto this world, unto this town throughout this week. Bless us, Lord, and use us for your glory. Amen.